Welcome back to God Is. This is the first day of the week, and I hope you enjoyed your weekend. This is a week in which part of it falls in April, today and tomorrow, and the other 3 days in the month of May. In a few moments, I'm going to talk about what is coming up on God Is. But to begin with, let me tell you that May is the month for mail. May is the month for mail. Of course, you can always write to me anytime. I enjoy hearing from you. But here's what I invite you to do specifically during the month of May. Email me or send me a letter to my mailing address and include the following. I'll make this as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Include 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? Radio station or podcast? If radio, is it WEZE, WROL, or KDIA? 3, tell me why you listen. What does God Is mean to you? You can keep this nice and short, or nice and long if you'd like. That's up to you. And 4, include any comments about the program, or questions you might have, this type of thing. If you do not have any comments or questions, just do 1, 2, 3. Let me give that to you again. I'm making this as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? Radio station or the podcast? If it is radio, specify WEZE, WROL, or KDIA. 3. Tell me why you listen. What does this radio ministry mean to you? Be concise or verbose. That's up to you. And 4. Include any comments about the program or questions you might have. If you do not have any, still write. Just do 1, 2, 3. And listen to this. If postmarked or emailed by Friday, May 31st, I will send you a gift certificate to the Banner of Truth Publisher. This is the Christian publisher I trust the most, and their website is loaded. I mean loaded with various outstanding resources for you. You're sure to find something that's just right for you. And this is my gift to you if you will write to me by May 31st. And don't wait. Write to me today. And I can send the gift certificate electronically by email, if you prefer. So either way, I will send my gift to you electronically or put it in the mail, and it will be yours if you'll write to me soon. This is as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. My email is mark@markaswallow.com, M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com, and my mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. If you listen daily, then you know these well by now, and these are always repeated at the end of every broadcast and every podcast. Of course, I'll be reminding you of this once we get into the month of May officially on Wednesday. But I wanted to get this on your mind now, even as we still cling to April by our fingertips. May is the month for mail. I look forward to hearing from you soon and sending out those gifts in the days ahead. When we left off on Friday, we had concluded a series that centered on the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ground ourselves in the book of Matthew, chapters 26, 27, and 28, and saw with clarity in various texts what his humiliation on our behalf was like. And then, for those of you with me daily, think back to the opening months of this year, if you can, and remember with me how we found the exalted Christ in Revelation chapter 1. So far, in 2019, we have encountered the risen and exalted Christ in the Revelation of Jesus Christ chapter 1, and then in time for Resurrection Sunday, the humiliated Christ in Matthew chapters 26 through 28. Jesus really has been the center of our attention, and that will continue to be the case as we move into the heart of the spring and beyond, remaining in the life of Christ. But how will we do this? In Revelation chapter 1, we met Jesus as he is today. Remember this? The Apostle John said that Jesus is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, 2-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Well, that's in Revelation chapter 1. Then we went back to Matthew and saw Jesus in his humiliation. He was betrayed. He was seized. Jesus was beat upon, slapped, hit, punched, smacked, mocked, and repeatedly taunted. He was scourged and then crucified. Then resurrected. If you go even further back to Christmas, you'll remember that we met Jesus in his birth. So where to now, Swallow? Well, let me tell you. I want to take us to the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, and to do that, I want us to dig in at Luke's Gospel chapter 2. There we will meet the boy Jesus at the age of 12 and learn some remarkable things about him. He's going to teach us about parenting. He's going to teach us about being a son or daughter who honors our parents. And something also about work. That's right, our jobs. And Jesus will do all of this in the context of teaching us about God. But before we get to Luke chapter 2, I invite you to come along with me as we go even further back in history to the period of time between the last book of the Old Testament called Malachi and the first book of the New Testament called Matthew. There is a period of over 400 years between the two, and we call this the intertestamental period. This is the time between the two testaments, and I want us to ask, what was going on then? I'll tell you up front my reason for doing so. It's this. In order to understand the context into which Jesus comes, you have to know something about the intertestamental period. What preceded Christ's human life and ministry? Do you know? Well, if you'll join me daily, we'll find out together. As we get started on this, I thought it would be insightful to give you a feel for what was happening in history during these 400-plus years. And by history, I mean in world history. So I will start today not with biblical history, but rather with what are some of the events and inventions going on around the world during this period. And as a good historian will do, we better start with some dates. Malachi was an Old Testament prophet, and he wrote the book of Malachi approximately 430 BC. So, late 5th century BC. Yes, a very, very long time ago. And the events of the New Testament opened approximately 6 BC, and the birth of Christ, that is, 6 BC. And so, what was happening between these dates? Between 430 BC and 6 BC. This is intriguing. In 430 BC, at the same time Malachi was prophesying, the ancient Romans agreed to the concept of a dictator in the times of a military emergency. And then, in successive order, 3 of the greatest Greeks to ever live, the philosophers Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato, experienced major events in their lives. In 339 BC, Socrates is condemned to death by an Athenian jury. In 384 BC, Aristotle is born. And in 370 BC, Plato writes his famous book, still read today, called The Republic. Have you read Plato's The Republic? Then, a little military history here. Alexander the Great is born in 356 BC, and he sweeps out in major military victories, conquering vast lands and peoples. As an example, in 330 BC, Alexander defeats the Persian Empire. And yet, like all mere mortals, he dies in 323 BC in mysterious fashion. Was it malaria, or was it poison? And then, in 312 BC, the Romans built the first paved road called the Appian Way. It went from Rome to Capua. We're walking through history, and this is what was going on in the world during the intertestamental period. Let's continue. In 255 BC, the Hebrew Old Testament is translated into Greek and called the Septuagint. In 241 BC, the Romans conquer Sicily, which was their first non-Italian territory added to their empire. Maybe we have some Sicilians listening in today? Ah, in 215 BC, the Great Wall of China was built. Have you been? I have visited several times, and it is breathtakingly stunning. It's quite an achievement. To think that was built in 215 BC is incredible. And speaking of the Chinese, in 102 BC, their ships reach the east coast of India. Back now to the Romans. In 100 BC, Julius Caesar is born. He later becomes the first emperor of Rome. You Brits might not appreciate this, but in 55 BC, the Romans conquered England, and it was a part of the Roman Empire until 442 AD. That's a long time. And then as we come down closer to leaving these intertestamental years, we get to 51 BC, and Cleopatra is the last of the ancient independent Egyptian rulers. A few years later, in 46 BC, Julius Caesar becomes dictator for life, although his life only lasts just two more years. And now a biblical date. It's 37 BC, when Herod the Great is made king of Judea by the Romans. And in 30 BC, the previously mentioned Cleopatra and her lover Mark Antony both die by suicide. And he is Mark Antony, not Mark Anthony, for those of you who enjoy modern music or who follow Jennifer Lopez. You'll know what I mean. Around 25 BC is likely when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born. And in 23 BC, sumo wrestling begins in Japan. And finally, in 20 BC, Herod the Great begins remodeling the temple in Jerusalem just before Jesus is born, around 6 BC. And thus ends our tour of ancient history during the period between Malachi and Matthew. Did that interest you? It did me. And when you come back tomorrow, we're going to continue to discuss the intertestamental period. What is its meaning for the life of God? What is God up to during these 400 plus years? Come on back and find out tomorrow on God Is.